Well, we are in the month of August, and I know it is back-to-school season for many of us, a time when students and teachers and families are focused on a new school year and hopefully new educational opportunities. Now, I myself am not headed back into a classroom this year. I am not a student or a teacher. But because I get to be here with you today, I have been given the chance to learn something new in this season as well. And that is because I have never been asked to preach on Acts chapter 23 in all the years I have been a pastor. Never, ever, ever. In fact, I'm not sure that prior to this past week, I even knew there was a reference to 40 assassins anywhere in the book of Acts. So that's my confession. But now I know, and you do as well, and we all get to spend some time together this morning exploring yet another adventure in this book. This summer, I know that you all have been journeying from the beginning of Acts almost now to the end and following the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. Last week, the focus was on Acts chapter 18. Today, we jump all the way to 23, and there is a lot that happens in between. So today, I'm going to give you a little bit of background that will set up our reading from chapter 23 today. And I know you can see on your map where all of those red ribbons are going, kind of down to the corner there. That is where Jerusalem is, and that is where we find Paul today after many, many journeys. So Paul is in Jerusalem. He is in a jail of sorts. And here's a little bit about how he landed there. In chapter 21, Paul returns to Jerusalem and tells his friends there all the places he has been and what he has been doing. And they, in turn, those friends in Jerusalem, tell him what has been happening while he has been away, that thousands upon thousands of Jews have become believers in Jesus. But they still continue to follow all of the Jewish laws completely and don't like the idea of new Gentile Christians not following those laws. The word on the street in Jerusalem, these guys tell Paul, is that he does not require new Christians, those Gentiles, those non-Jews, to follow Jewish laws. And for that reason, Paul is not all that popular in Jerusalem. So they have a plan. They send Paul to the temple with some other men to make sacrifices and go through a ritual purification, which he needs to do as a Jew because he has been associating with those Gentiles, those non-Jews. Paul is demonstrating to all of Jerusalem that he is a faithful Jew and still follows the law. Well, Paul, unfortunately, maybe, is recognized in the temple by some guys from Ephesus who recognize him, and they grab him and they start shouting that Paul is running around the world telling lies about Jews and the temple, and they start to beat him. They try to kill him, but they are stopped by the captain of the guard, a Roman official, a tribune, he is called in our reading today, who breaks up the mob as they are beating Paul. The captain arrests Paul, pretty much for his own safety, and the crowd gets even more violent, shouting that Paul should be killed. And Paul, very calmly in the midst of this mob, asks the captain if he can say a few words. Imagine Paul wanting to preach. But he asks if he can say a few words to the crowd. And Paul speaks to the crowd in Hebrew, yet another sign that he is indeed a faithful Jew, and tells them the story of his conversion, of Jesus appearing to him on the road to Damascus, and how he became a follower of Jesus. And then he goes on to share that God told him he was being sent on a long journey to preach the good news to guess who? The Gentiles. Well, when the crowd hears this, they get fired up all over again, and so the captain takes Paul away to be tortured in order to get more information out of him. This was the way of the day. And just as they are getting ready to begin the torture, Paul says, "Is this legal? Torturing a Roman citizen without a fair trial?" And that put an end to that. The captain realized that he now has to protect Paul because he is a Roman citizen. So the next day, the captain releases Paul and orders a meeting of the high priest and the high council and brings Paul before them. And Paul checks out the room, sees that there are some Pharisees there that he recognizes, and starts to talk about being a Pharisee. Well, that gets the Sadducees going, and pretty soon the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these two groups of Jews, begin fighting again. And the fight becomes so violent that the captain takes Paul away for his own safety and puts him back in jail in the barracks. And then we finally arrive at our reading today, Acts 23, verse 11. Paul is there in the barracks. Jesus appears to Paul and tells him that God has a plan, that he will go to Rome and share the gospel, and that everything is going to be okay. And the next day we hear 40 plus Jews who were angry with Paul take an oath to kill him. Sounds a little dangerous. These 40 assassins were men who were so angry, so threatened by Paul and Jesus' message, they swear an oath not to eat or drink again before they have killed Paul. In a way, this reading is very timely for us in this world, where we can easily picture pockets of people, especially in the Middle East today, who are so consumed by their what they understand to be their religion, they are willing to kill anyone who is different. Well, these 40 assassins are foiled by Paul's nephew and the captain who makes sure that Paul gets away to Caesarea before he can be murdered. The captain believes that this is all a dispute about religion, about Jewish laws, about religion, and that Paul is not actually a criminal. So he saves Paul and gets him out of his city, and I have to add, off his hands, all at the same time. Jesus has promised to Paul that he will go to Rome and be a witness for him holds true, as you will see in the chapters to come. Well, in spite of dangerous travels, beatings, and imprisonment, Paul spreads the gospel to Gentiles and Jews all over the world. Now, we know that Paul had to wrestle with quite a lot during his lifetime. He was a faithful Jew who at one time thought Christians were a threat to his faith. He persecuted Christians, and then he met Jesus on that road to Damascus and became one of those followers of Jesus, one of those very Christians. As he spread the gospel wherever he went, Paul encountered new people and communities, new customs and new ways, new possibilities and problems. He had to continually adapt and grow, always following Jesus, always sharing the good news of new life in Christ. Paul knew that he himself was not perfect, and yet he was confident that God was working through him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul followed God's call to bring God's message of love and forgiveness and new life for all people. And in the midst of anger and violence, and even those 40 assassins, God's message spread, and the church grew all over the world. Well, throughout the book of Acts, we have seen that people like Paul, who share the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and his message of God's love, are often run out of town, thrown in jail, beaten, even killed, for one main reason. And that is because people were afraid that their whole way of life was going to change because of Jesus. And they were right. Jesus changes everything. Because Jesus' life, death, and resurrection makes clear to us just how far God will go to show us that we are indeed God's children, that we are loved, and that all of our brokenness and sin has been forgiven. And because of that forgiveness and that love, we know a new life in Christ that frees us from all fear, that frees us to be the people God has created us to be. As we listen to these stories in Acts, we hear people arguing over what Christians have to do, what they should look like, what laws they should follow. And lucky for us, we can just sit back and read it as a story from thousands of years ago, right? Because people of faith today don't ever fight about rules or money or people who are different from us. Oh, if only that were true, right? Paul's mission to the Gentiles that we find in the book of Acts speaks an important word to us here today as well. When we find ourselves deciding who is in and who is out in God's kingdom, God comes to us today and speaks this word to us. God's work is not done. God's love is not just for us. Jesus' message and good news is for the whole world. In Paul's words to the Galatians, in your memory verse for this week, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. We can and will, I know, argue about our differences and about what we think the church should look like, and even try to control the work of the Holy Spirit. But in spite of us and for us, God's message to us remains the same. You and I are beloved children of God, always and forever. And as children of God, we are called to get out there, like our brother Paul, led by the Spirit, trusting that we are never alone, knowing that God will be with us when life and ministry are tough and scary and challenging, maybe even life-threatening. And God will continue to work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the good news of God's love for all the world. Amen.